here today?
Oh, I'm not so convinced.
Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord here today?
Yeah, amen. You know, it's good to be in a church that participates, right? And not just spectates. We all brought a piece of this service with us today, right? Amen. Glory to God. Well, I hope you're hungry for the Word. I'm very excited about this message. It's been stirring in my heart. I had a little time out of the pulpit this last week, and I'll tell you what, I'm just raring to be back. So I hope you're ready. Glory to God. Go with me in your Bibles back to the book of Genesis. Today we're going to talk about the presence of the Lord. Amen. And as we move into this new year, we are going to put a greater emphasis, not just in our own personal lives, those starting there, but we're going to put a greater emphasis in this church family of seeking the presence of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And you're going to see, you know, why it's so significant that we do so. You know, I feel in my heart as though that this will lead into several messages over the next couple of weeks. I can't guarantee that, though. You know, the Spirit of God may lead us to do something different, you know, next Sunday and the Wednesdays or whatever following. But I just feel real strong in my heart that I am to preach about the presence of the Lord. Because a lot of Christians don't even know what that means. They don't know how to seek the presence of the Lord. And I want to teach you how to seek the presence of the Lord. But we as a corporate church body must put greater emphasis on being in the presence of the Lord here coming up in 2015. That this will be a year of being in God's presence. And I'm not trying to brand the year. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just telling you the witness that's in my heart, that this will be a year where we will, as individuals in our homes, but also as we come together as a church family, that we will put a greater emphasis on being in the Lord's presence. Because there is a lot of believers that are really getting frustrated in life and wondering why things aren't working for them, why things are just, you know, a constant frustration and friction. And I'll tell you what, it begins with the presence of God. Amen. A lot of people, they have gotten to certain places with the Lord. They have seen the Lord's blessing in their life. They've seen their marriage restored. They've seen maybe their finances increase, or they've received help emotionally, or they've received healing in their body, or I mean, we could all just go around and testify to the goodness of God in our lives. Amen. You know, and sometimes we get to a plateau and all of a sudden, you know, we take it easy and we start to go into coast mode in our Christianity. We cannot go into coast mode. Listen, we cannot go into coast mode in our spiritual life just because we're part of a Word and Spirit church and just expect that our church family, or just because we go to church, that we're going to always have these dynamic things keep happening. Listen, if God brought you anywhere, if He brought you out of something bad and took you into something good, I can tell you it started because somewhere along the line you got into God's presence. And so many times people will reach a certain point and they will stop seeking the very thing that brought them to the good place they're at now. I've seen it in this church. I've seen the temptation, the trial that comes against all of us to just kind of go in this kind of, you know, automatic reset mode. We're going forward. You know, we're just kind of coasting forward. No. We're not coasting into any new year. We are going to push and press into this new year. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, if you're sitting here today feeling like your life is frustrated, if it just feels like nothing is clicking, nothing is working, I can guarantee you it has something to do with not being in the Lord's presence. Just because you open your Bible does not mean you are in the Lord's presence. Just because you come to church, now let me qualify this statement. Yes, the Lord is here whenever we're gathered, two or three in His name. However, you might not be participating. You might not be benefiting from being in the Lord's presence in the corporate anointing. Okay? And so we need to put an emphasis on that. And we're going to start 2015 right here in this church as an emphasis of being in the Lord's presence, because that is when needs are met. That's when bills get paid. That's when people get healed. Most importantly, that's when people get saved. Glory to God. That is when things start to work. Things start cutting loose and happening for you because you get in the Lord's presence. And you're going to see in the Word of God that if there's one thing that Satan will fight, and that is to keep you out of getting into the presence of the Lord. And when I talk about the presence of the Lord, I'm not just talking about praying, though praying is a big part of it. But there's a lot of people that pray that don't get into the Lord's presence. The Bible does give us very specific attributes of the Lord's presence, how to work with it, how to cooperate, and how to get into it.
Amen.
And we're going to go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and we're going to see that the number one attack on Adam and Eve, what was the devil after? Well, he was after their dominion, but ultimately his goal was to pull them out of the presence of God. That is the greatest thing that Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. They lost the Lord's presence. Yeah, come on now. Oh, we need to get into this. If you're looking for more energy and excitement in your life, I can guarantee you, you're going to get your help when you get into the Lord's presence. Yeah, if you're wondering why you just seem frustrated, things aren't working. Oh, listen, this is the secret to life. If you want to know how life gets good, it always gets good in the presence of the Lord. Do you know why marriages are suffering? It's because one or both of them are not spending time in God's presence. Or God's presence is not allowed to move and flow in their home. Oh, wherever God's presence goes, there is fullness of joy. You could just say it this way. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is fullness. It's not just fullness of joy. It's going to be fullness of everything.
Amen.
See, the Garden of Eden, what was it? Was it just the living place that God made for Adam and Eve? Well, yes. I mean, he did put them there to live. But why was it so abundant? Why was it so fruitful? Why was it such a wealthy place, spirit, soul, and body? Because God walked there. Because God's presence was there. You know, sometimes we think of the Garden of Eden. What do we start thinking about? We think about the trees. We think about the fruit. You know, the Bible says there was lots of gold there and precious jewels and all this. We start thinking about all that. But what was the most precious thing in that place? The presence of God. The Bible says, we're going to read this scripture, that God walked in the garden. He walked there. His presence was uninhibited there. That is why all the abundance was there. So wherever God's presence is, there's going to be fullness. You know, there's a lot of people, they're going to work and they hate their job. You know, they go there, they feel like there's no grace on life. I'll tell you why. Because somewhere along the line, something distracted you or got you out of the presence of God. Oh, come on now. This is the reason for our existence. Human beings were created with the ability to be in the presence of God. That is our design. That is our purpose. That was the reason for our creation. We were different than the angels. The Bible says we're better than the angels. We are a higher creation. Oh, glory to God. Well, let me show you this real quick. I've spent a lot of time in weeks past. You know, I've taught these verses a lot over in Genesis chapter 1. Go over to verse 26. Just giving you the original intentions for man's creation. Why were we made? And in verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, make mankind in our image." Okay, that's the way he looks. And then he says, "after our likeness," and that means his character or his ability. So we don't just look like God, we have his character and ability. You could say it this way, we were made in the same class of being as God. That doesn't mean we're the same rank as God, but the same kind of being as God. It says this, it says, "in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So this is what God did. He made us to be in the same realm with him. Not equal rank, where mankind was never equal with God, but in the same class of being as God. Why? So we could stand in his presence. We could stand in his presence and enjoy his presence constantly. Go over to chapter 2 in verse 7. Look at this. This is when God formed Adam. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, Adam, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Well, we read that and we just kind of take it for granted. Okay, man became alive. Well, it says a lot more than that if you study the original Hebrew. You could say it this way: man became alive with the same life that God has. He was made in the same realm of God. He was made in the same class with God. Hallelujah. God was making not a equal counterpart, but he was making a counterpart. Yeah. The Bible does talk about Adam as being a son of God. That doesn't mean Adam is equal to Jesus Christ. He never was. However, there are several references in the Bible that Adam himself was created like a son. God was making mankind in his image. Isn't that what your children are of you? Aren't they made in the image and likeness of you? Do you ever see your own personality in your kids? Doesn't that just make you mad? You know, and sometimes you see your less desirable parts of your personality showing up in your kids sometimes. Oh yeah, why? Because they're made in the likeness. And you ever notice when your child will have the same expression? You ever see your spouse in your kids? Yeah. You say, "Oh my goodness, you look just like your mother when you said that." Or you look, you know, Katie will say to Timothy or Michael, "You look just like your dad when you say that." Have you ever been there, any parents? Yeah. Yeah, why? Because just like your children, we were made in the image and likeness of God. Adam was considered one of God's children. And that means that Adam was given the DNA of God. God breathed the breath of life into him, and he became a godlike man, or made in the image and likeness of God. That was the intentions for all of us. That's how we were all supposed to be made, right? Of course, we know the story and what messed it up. Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation, right, and ate the forbidden fruit. So we just wanted to take a little time here off the beginning to see that man was created in the same realm and class of God. Why? To walk in his presence. How awesome. This was the intentions. This was the purpose of mankind, was to get into the presence of God and to live there. Yeah, it's kind of when something is designed for a purpose, but then they lose that purpose, that thing will never be happy until it gets back to its original purpose. Right? You know, you see it even in the animal kingdom. I know this is a really weak illustration, but when they take some majestic animals and they cage them up, there are a lot of people that they can see and know that those animals are going through a certain level of depression. They start to get sick. They start to denigrate. Their quality of life starts to lessen. Why? Because they're in a cage when they were supposed to be designed to go out there and fly and hunt and live in the wild, right? When you take something out of its given purpose, that thing will suffer. In the same way, Satan tries to get mankind to suffer by getting us out of the presence of God, which was our original intention and purpose for our creation. If he can get us out, he can bring suffering to our lives. If he gets us out of the presence of God, if he gets us distracted, if he gets us disinterested, right? Come on, if he gets us just locked in the mental arena all the time, you know, always thinking and worrying and getting into a life that's outside of the presence of God, then he can bring suffering upon us. But when we get into the place that we were designed for, that is where we flourish. That was our design parameters. That is where we are at our best. And Satan will do anything he can to keep you out of that place. Now go on over to chapter 3 here, and we're just going to see some things. Now we remember the story. Of course, Adam and Eve, Adam was created first. Eventually, Eve came along. And they were told not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. But we know that they disobeyed God. Satan came as a serpent into the garden and lied to them. That's the thing that he still does today. Just, notice he couldn't make them do that. Notice he couldn't put affliction on Adam and Eve. He couldn't do a thing to them except to lie to them and to get them to disobey God. Satan is still, actually, he's more defeated now than he's ever been, because Jesus destroyed him 2,000 years ago. But he's still, that's all he is. He's just a liar. If you can just keep turning down the devil's suggestions, you will win in life. If you just keep turning, nope, I don't accept that. No, no, thank you, devil. No, thank you, devil. No, thank you, devil. No, thank you, devil. No, thank you. Come on now. You ever been there? I mean, I guess none of you have ever been tempted and had that voice come to you, or in the form of doubts or thoughts come to you and start telling you, I'm going to hurt your kids. No, thanks, devil. I'm going to destroy your church. No, thanks, devil. I'm going to put something on you. No, thanks, devil. I'm going to do something to your spouse. No, thanks. That's all you have to keep saying. No, thank you. No, I don't take that. I don't accept that. That's all Adam and Eve would have had to have done. You know? And all Adam would have had to have done is said, look at all this fruit around here. Look what all God has provided. Why would I need to eat from this one tree when I have thousands here? See, doesn't the Bible say that God will give with the temptation a way out? There was a thousand way out for, there was a thousand ways out for Adam and Eve. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let's get to this. So we know what happens. They eat of the fruit, and then something happens. Now let's pick it up here in verse 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, this is a tree that they were told not to eat from. This is Genesis 3, 6. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Well, there it is. There's the moment. And just like the joke goes, right, it wasn't the fruit on the tree that was the problem. It was the pear on the ground. Thank you, Pastor Brad. We appreciate that because we know that it comes from Pete. That's a Pete classic. And every time I get into these scriptures, I always think of that. And I even have to say it from the pulpit. And then I have to give credit to Pete Hofer, one of our board members here. Praise the Lord. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, what that is a symbol of shame. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what God was. That's what he was doing. Just think. He was just walking in the same place where they lived. Yes. You could say it this way. Up until this moment, God just lived in Adam and Eve's home. He just lived there. He just walked around there. His presence was full there. Now that, I mean, there was a lot of times when Adam walked next to God in the garden, but there was other times when Adam was off doing something else and God was just in that garden there with him. Somewhere, they weren't next to each other, so to speak. His presence just filled that place. Amen. Glory to God. That is what I want my home to be. That is what I want this church to be. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. It says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the what? From the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Where are you? Now we're going to get to this. Do you think that God just didn't know where Adam was? Of course he knew where he was physically, but we're going to talk about that. But I'm going to just give you a few points here in this message. First thing I want you to see is up there in verse 8. I want you to see that man's fallen nature will always convince him to stay out of God's presence. The fallen nature of man will resist the presence of the Lord. Notice what Adam and Eve did once they sinned. The first thing that they did is that they hid from the presence of God. Come on. Oh, I tell you what, there are people in this room that even though you're in church and even though you're going through the routine of a Christian life, we're hiding from the presence of God. We're hiding. We're not getting into that place like we should. Come on now. Oh, man's fallen nature will always convince him to stay out of God's presence. Satan will fight you any way he can to keep you out. Notice the first thing that came upon Adam and Eve was shame and guilt. Shame and guilt will always try to tell people to run and hide from God. Oh, come on now. All they were is they got filled with shame, they got filled with guilt, and notice what it did. It took them out of the presence of God. Took them out of the presence of God. There are people that, you know, have been guilty for something that they've done. They made a mistake. They fell, you know, they fell away or they backslid in their relationship with God. I'll tell you what, you cannot live that way. It is going to be a miserable existence running and hiding from God. Some of us are going through that right now. We might be in church and we might have the shout and the praise, but we're running from God in our faithfulness and our prayer life. Come on now. We're running from our faithfulness and serving in the local church. Oh, come on now. Listen, shame and guilt should never keep you out. Listen, if you missed it somewhere, you need to repent and get right back in. Praise the Lord. There's always going to be resistance to get into the presence of God. I don't know about you, but I mean, does the devil just fight you tooth and nail to get in and meditate in the Word? Does the devil fight you tooth and nail to get in and spend time praying in the Holy Ghost? He will make you busy at work. He will get you distracted at home. He will get you into your hobbies. He will do whatever he can to keep you out of that place of you're just in fellowship and praise and worship in that time with God. Oh, and so many people, they'll say, well, I haven't done this right. I haven't been this enough, so I can't get there. Listen, that's a lie. Listen, this is why things aren't working. Listen, this is why things get frustrating in life. This is where the friction comes from. This is where we lose grace, is because we don't get into that place. This is where marriages fall apart, when we don't spend time in that place. This is where families disintegrate, because the leadership of the home is not spending time in the presence of God. Listen, notice it is always Satan, the result of sin and Satan's temptation to run and hide from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Sure. Oh, come on now. The devil will try to get you into wrong relationships to keep you out of the presence of God. He will get you overworked. He will do whatever he can. Yeah. Throw on the hours at work. Have you do so much, too much. Running from here to there, you know. Load up your life with a bunch of extracurricular activities for the kids. You know, this sport, this program, that program, everything is running here and there. There's no time to get into the presence of God. You are now resisting the very purpose of your existence. You were made to be in that place of the presence of God. Nothing else is to come first. Nothing else is more important. Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, we are starting 2015 in this church with a new emphasis of being in the presence of the Lord at home and also corporately. Listen, we could have all the church methodology. We could do all this cool and West Coast stuff in our church. We could throw the concerts, and we could have lights going and smoke machines going, and I could dress down and dress real cool and you know, and dress like a California guy, and you know, maybe I'd start even lifting weights and get a little muscle and wear a tight shirt. I'd throw on a backwards hat. Maybe we could do all this stuff and just look real cool. But I'll tell you what, the presence of God cannot be mocked. You can't imitate, because there's nothing better than the presence of God. There's nothing cooler. There's nothing better. Amen. And those places are trying to have to conjure up an environment. They're trying to build the environment from the ground up. We're trying to call the presence of God from the top on down. Praise the Lord. I don't want a man-made atmosphere. I want a God-made atmosphere. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You watch, if you will hang out in a place that is saturated with the presence of the Lord, you watch your life change. You watch the power of God bring peace to your mind, heal your body. You'll start actually going to work and enjoying it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'll tell you what, man's fallen nature will always resist you. Listen, I guarantee, starting with me and going to every single one of us, we could right now make a list of all the things that we have placed in front of the presence of the Lord. We could go right through and make a list where, well, I've put too much priority on this. I've been busy doing this. This has distracted me. This has taken my time. This has gotten me away. We could go and we could make that list right now. And that list would tell us what things we've put in front of the presence of the Lord. And that list is the reason why things are getting frustrating. That is the reason why people lose their fire. This is the reason why people lose that fire for God. They lose that hunger. You know, because I'll tell you what, it doesn't take long for a hot coal to get outside the fire and to turn cold. Doesn't take long at all. You know, you can take a hot coal out of the hottest fire, set it out there for just a few minutes, and you'll be able to pick it up. You will. It might still have some warmth to it. You might not be able to hold it for long, but you can. I know, because in my foolish days before Jesus, I used to do that. You ever remember that game called Hot Coal or whatever? Anyway, pre-Jesus stuff, okay? And you could take that hot coal. Listen, you might be, you know, look back at a time in your life when you were burning bright, burning hot for God. And then the stuff that's on that list took you out of the flame, so to speak. Come on, it isn't going to take long. It isn't going to take long before that fire is completely out. You can't live outside of the presence of God. Listen, plants, most of them, are made to be planted in dirt. That's how they're made. And if you remove them from the soil, it's only a matter of time before they dry up. And the withering starts to come. And they lose their health and their vitality. Come on, listen to me. A new emphasis on the presence of the Lord. Now, the second thing I want to draw your attention to, one was man's fallen nature resisting the presence of the Lord. Listen, it is so easy to say, well, but I need to do this. I need to spend time working on this. I need to do this. I need to take care of this. And all the things in natural life that your mind will tell you is more important. That's your fallen nature speaking. That is your fallen nature speaking. But on the inside, the hidden man of the heart is crying out, saying, get me into the presence of God. Get me into the presence of God. I need to be watered. I need to be in the presence of the Lord. I need that vitality, that health, and that strength. Come on, listen. And I'm going to teach you how to do this. But you're going to need to come back. You're going to need to come back. Now look at the second thing I want to show you is God's question to Adam in verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where are you, Adam? Adam, where are you? Notice, like we said, was that because God didn't know Adam's physical location on the earth? Didn't God know exactly where he was? That question was not asked because God didn't know where he was physically. God asked that question because at that moment he sensed that he just broke fellowship with his son Adam. Remember what Jesus said on the cross when he cried out to God? Remember, the term that Jesus used there when he was on the cross? Anyway, it was translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that? When Jesus was on the cross, all of a sudden he knew that he had broke fellowship with the Father. At that moment, he knew. He just knew it in his spirit. All of a sudden, he lost fellowship. At the same time, God the Father, who was in the garden, he knew all of a sudden, oh my goodness, I just lost Adam. He didn't lose him in a physical proximity sense. He lost, at that moment, he knew that Adam just fell out of his realm. At that moment, Adam just ceased to be in the same class with God. His precious creation just lost his presence. Is there anybody here today? You know? He just sensed, all of a sudden, at that moment, his man Adam was gone. Not gone in a physical sense, but gone in a spiritual sense. He had just lost that communion, fellowship, and presence. He knew that something had just happened that disqualified Adam from his presence. And immediately, what did God say to Adam and Eve? If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. At that moment, God knew that death had just started. He was just removed from the purpose in which he was created, and now death began. Whenever we take ourselves out of the presence of God, we don't put a priority on the word, we don't put a priority on prayer, we don't put a priority of being in church. Whenever we do that, death begins. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to help you today. This wasn't a question that God asked because he didn't know Adam's physical location. This question was asked because Adam broke fellowship and the Father was calling for his son. Adam fell out of God's presence, and God instantly knew, like Christ was on the cross when he said, "My Father, why have you forsaken me?" Wow. God is asking us the same question today.
Right.
Where are you?
Come on.
Where are you? Oh, but God, I'm in church. Oh, but God, you know, I have my scriptures on my mirror. Oh, God, I listen to the Christian radio station in my car or at work. That's where I am, God. Oh, yeah, well, good, fine, and dandy. But where are you? Notice that it is the very first question that God asked when Adam fell. Where'd he go? Why is he's left my presence somehow? He's gone in the same way. Where are you? Well, I'll tell you where I've been. I'm busy taking care of my family, busy working, busy with this, busy with that, busy with this. God's shouting, where are you? He's asking us the same question. And I say in 2015, we answer that question. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Instead of hiding like Adam and Eve did, instead of letting shame and guilt have its way in our life, we step up and we put a new priority of the Lord's presence in this year. In our personal prayer life, in our personal word devotional time, but also we get into the presence of God as individuals. We come together as a church family and watch the presence of God just do awesome and mighty things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if we did, if we said, okay, be honest to God and the Holy Ghost here today. If you know in your heart that you've neglected your time with the Lord, raise your hand. Don't do that. Don't do that. I'm saying hypothetically, if we did that and you were honest, I bet we would see a lot of hands in this place.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We would see a lot of hands in this place. That comes to an end as this year comes to an end.
Amen.
And it's not a New Year's resolution. It's not just some, you know, false phony promise. But it's a new level of commitment and dedication. That we aren't just going to, you know, coast as a church family. You know, this is a miracle room.
Yes. Yes.
This is the local church. This is where God meets with his family on the earth. Yes. And it is going to be a place, as it has been, of powerful, of the presence of God,
yes,
where people will come to this place. If they aren't saved, they will get saved.
Yes.
If they aren't healed, they'll get healed.
Yes.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. See, this is what Adam lost. He lost the presence of God, and God knew it. And God cried out, where are you?
Yes.
That's the same thing he'd be saying. Where are you? Where is our fellowship time? Why aren't we together? Oh, come on now. Sure is getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. Praise the Lord. I know we've used that joke about 1,000 times too many, haven't we? Glory to God. Now, notice what he lost. He lost the presence of the Lord, but notice what he also lost. He also lost the garden. Now, we could go to chapter 2, and it talks about the trees. It talks about the gold. It talks about the precious stones. How many of you knew that in the Lord's presence, Adam had every need met? He never once had to wonder where his next meal was coming from. He never once had to wonder how the bills were going to be paid, so to speak. He didn't have any bills. You know what I mean? I'm saying that in a metaphor. Right? He didn't have to, you know, he didn't have to wonder, you know, how he was going to be protected or where his needs were going to come from. As long as he was in the presence of the Lord, glory to God, all that was met. Every need was supplied. And so many times, though, we just think of it as a matter of he lost the gold, he lost the trees, he lost all that stuff. All those things were just a peripheral result of the Lord's presence. Because wherever God goes, fruitfulness abounds. Wherever God goes, there's more than enough fruit. There's more than enough precious stones. There's more than enough gold. God cannot stand in a place of lack. Let me make that clear of what I'm saying. Where his presence goes, it always provides. God, when he visits a place of lack or poverty, if his presence is allowed to remain there, it will not and cannot stay that way for long. Everywhere that he goes, everything that surrounds him, when he, in the Old Testament, when he commanded to build the temple to put his name there, what was that temple? It was overlaid with solid gold. I mean, cherubim, angels, solid gold statues, all that stuff in the Old Testament temple, because everywhere his presence was. He says, if I'm going to live inside the Ark of the Covenant, make sure it's covered with gold. Make sure it's covered with gold. Because wherever God goes, it's more than enough. Yes. And all of a sudden, for the first time, when Adam lost the presence of God, he lost all of the peripheral benefits. All of a sudden, his needs all weren't met. Things are about to become very frustrating for old Adam. Yes. Let me show you this. And this is the third thing I want to talk to you about. Adam's frustration. Whew. See, this is what we need to understand. As soon as God takes you to a certain level in life. Didn't he take Adam to a certain level in life? It will require that faithfulness. It will require that same fellowship to maintain the level where God has brought you. See? It's very dangerous for God to promote you into a place and then you step back, and then you are out in a place that God brought you, but you are now not living in the same mentality. That's dangerous. I mean, I don't need a show of hands, but you would say God has promoted, you know, you would be saying this. You could look at your life and say, oh my goodness, God has done this for us. He's done that for us. He's done this for us. He's done that for us. He's done this. Well, what was it that gave him the opportunity to bless your life? Somewhere along the line, you got into his presence. Yes. And now it's going to have to keep his presence in order to maintain what you've received. Because the moment you get out of that that presence, you are in danger of losing what that presence brought. Adam learned it the hard way. He had it so good all around him. God gave him the trees, the garden. He even gave him a wife. Glory to God. And he obtained favor from the Lord. Right. Yeah, right? He got a wife. He got the trees. He got the gold. He got this. He got all this. But as soon as he was removed from God's presence, where'd the gold go? Where did the trees go? Where did the joy go? Where did the grace go? Where did it go? It left with God's presence. Because it wasn't Adam that made those things. Those things were just, he was enjoying them because he spent time in the presence of God. Let me show you Adam's frustration. Go down here to verse 17. Genesis 3, 17. Glory to God. You getting something out of this? Maybe some of you are just quiet because it's a sober reminder. Listen, 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 listen. We've all been there. We've all been there. I guess only two of you have ever been there. I guess you are also just spiritual. You know, you are always in the Shekinah glory at every given moment of your life. You're just so spiritual. I mean, my goodness, you're like Enoch. You've already stepped on over to the other side. Listen, your nature, things in life come up to distract and disinterest. And if you feel like your spiritual toes are being stomped on today, well, praise the Lord. Because there's a couple of different kinds of people in this life. People that run away, you know, just because they actually got convicted and realized they need to make a change. Or there's people that say, yes, that's me. I was convicted today, and I'm jumping in, and I'm changing, and I'm going the way of God. Praise the Lord. Because I am not going to waste my existence on things that I was not created for. And I don't want life to get frustrating and hard and without grace. I don't want to live a life of just constant friction. Come on now. Let me show you this. In verse 17, it says, and unto Adam, this is after they had sinned. Remember when God first dealt with Eve and said, well, because you've done this, childbirth is going to be no fun for you. We won't spend any time on that right now. Because we do have expecting mothers here. Praise the Lord. Verse 17, it says, and Adam, and then he turns to Adam, and God says, because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. But notice what happened in Adam's life as soon as he left the presence of the Lord. He no longer enjoyed working. Oh. Notice what happened. He lost the grace to enjoy work and life. Now, I know our society is trying to reinvent a way out of work. You can't. You can't invent a way out of work. You have to work. Okay? And your choice can be either to despise it and have it bear thorns and thistles for you all the days of your life, or you can spend time in the Lord's presence where you can actually go and enjoy work. Because notice that was the original intention of God. Was before Adam lost the presence of God, he enjoyed what he did. He enjoyed work in the ground. He enjoyed the growing of the plants and the harvest and all. He enjoyed it. He loved it.
Right.
Yeah, but he left the Lord's presence. And now God said, now because you left my presence, Adam, thorns and thistles, frustrations and friction is going to be the result because you left my presence.
That's right.
Well, you think, well, that's all of us. We're just like Adam now, and we're always going to hate work. Oh, no, because there is one that came and reinstated us into the presence of God. His name is Jesus. And you can enjoy the work of your hands. You can have, I mean, we don't have to wake up every day dreading the idea of going in and facing the boss and hating our job. Listen, people that are living that life are not in the presence of God. Because when you spend time in the presence of God, it can turn every bitter thing sweet. You could actually wake up and enjoy what you do. And if you don't, if you are waking up every day with a drudgery and just hating life, I'll tell you, somewhere along the line, you have failed to maintain of being in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, because life is not supposed to be just a big drudgery. Oh, my goodness. Now, yes, there are times when the grace does lift at times in life because God has something different for you. But I'm talking about, you know where God has you. You're waking up every day. Listen, God needs his people to be a walking billboard for him. They show up to work. They enjoy the hours they spend there. Right? Because when you're filled, when you are mindful of God's presence, when you are mindful of him living in you and working in you, if you are mindful of the fact that he is the Lord, he is the strength of your life, glory to God, you don't have to hate what you do. Some of you are looking so sad right now. Well, you just go keep on living in that same old frustrating thorns and thistles. God is trying to lift you up and to show you how to get into his presence so life does not have to be, so you don't have to wear that sad face and show the world. Don't show the world how sad Jesus is. Because he's not. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. The presence of the Lord. Now, let me show you this in the last few minutes that we have. We see that Adam's frustration, work was going to be enjoyable until he got out of the presence of the Lord. But now that he lost the presence of the Lord, it's frustrating, it's hard, it's friction, no grace, trouble. Yep, but in God's presence, there's grace. You can enjoy the things that God called you to do. God would not call you to do something and not give you the grace.
Good word. Exactly. Good word.
Listen, I remember being a school teacher, and I knew that my time there was limited, and especially when I knew when it was going to stop. I knew that last year, I had taught, well, overall about 4 years, but my last job, it was the 3 years of that 4 years, and I knew that I was going to be stepping out at the end of that year. And every day it just seemed like, you know, I was anxious to get that year done, and I just wanted it to be over, or, you know, I just, you know, felt the grace lifting, and I said, oh, I don't have this anymore. But then I realized, wait a minute. God has me here for this year. I'm not going to spend a whole year of my life hating what I do every day. That is no way to live, and that is no way God has called us to live. And that sure is not a good witness to the lost to show up hating life. Come on now. I'll tell you what, you're going to see in 2015, as you participate in this, you're going to start seeing that you're actually enjoying more and more what you do. Yes. You're actually feeling more and more grace to get you through and to help you to enjoy either your job, right? Yeah, amen. Grace to, I mean, I'll tell you what, marriage is something to be enjoyed. Some of you are enduring marriage. Marriage is not something you should have to be enduring. I'm saying this by the unction of the Holy Ghost. You're enduring your marriage. It should be a time of heaven on earth. Days of refreshing have come. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, if you start enduring your marriage, oh, and there's going to be days when your flesh is going to feel like you're enduring your children or enduring your service to the local church. Listen, I'm not just enduring. I want to be enjoying. And if I'm not, it's not God's fault. It's somewhere along the line I have not gotten the revelation of his presence. Because the Bible says in his presence is a fullness of joy. Joy in your work, joy at your job, joy in your marriage. Listen, I'm telling you this. I've seen it. The times in my life when I have gotten distracted or have gotten away from the presence of the Lord, so to speak, you know, men, I can speak to you, you know, because I am a man, praise the Lord. Can't really always, you know, speak from the standpoint of a whoa man, but I can as a husband. You know when you start getting short and sharp, impatient, you bark, you gripe, you complain. Come on, guys. I'll tell you the reason why that is because you hadn't spent time with God that day. There's no way, what minister said, there's no way you're going to spend 2 hours praying in tongues and come out and kick the dog. There's no way you're going to spend time in the presence of God and come out and be Mr. Grumpy Pants. Yes, I said Grumpy Pants. Praise the Lord. Because you don't want to get to a place. And I look around and I see so many faces that God has brought you to such amazing things.
Yes.
All right? Don't get to this place and then fall out of the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Don't. Let me show you what Moses said. Over here, turn with me real quick to Exodus chapter 33. I'm preaching to myself too, by the way. You know? There's something about ministers that's, you know, when they act like, oh, they don't need this. I'll tell you what, anyone who preaches, you know, Brother Hagin, he said this. He said, the greatest challenge in my life is to live up to half of what I preach.
Yeah, exactly.
That's absolutely right. You know, I mean, so any minister that stands up and say, well, I'm preaching this to you, but I don't need this. What a false preacher he is. Exodus 33, verse 13. Real quick, for the sake of time, God had called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. How many of you know that that's a big job? All right? But it was a place that God had for Moses.
That's right.
And so Moses would never be happy until he's in that place. But Moses had a revelation of something. God said, I want you to go confront Pharaoh, lead all the Israelites out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. I want you to do this. And Moses says, well, God, how do I know that you're going to be with me? You know, or how do I know that you're going to cause this to succeed? How do I know that you're going to lead your people out of Egypt? And then in verse 13, God responds. Watch this. It says this. It says, now therefore, this is what Moses was saying to the Lord. Moses says, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said to Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. Wow. What revelation. Moses said, I'll do it. But if you're not going to give me your presence, don't send me to do it. Because I don't want to get into a place and then not have your presence, because then I will truly be a failure. You don't want to get to a place of promotion, of leadership, of influence, and then abandon the presence of God. You don't want to do that. You don't want to get further along in this thing and then fall out. The devil will eat your lunch all day. He will make sure to show people, look at this one that was so faithful and great for these years. Look at how far they come. Now look at, I'm destroying their life. Because they got to a certain level and then they backed out. They backed off the presence of God. The devil's looking for those kind of people to make examples of. Moses says, don't send me. Don't get me out there and then me not have your presence.
Right.
He said, listen, now, no, and remember this passage? This is the passage where Moses says, show me your glory. Moses says, I want to know you. I want to know your ways.
Yes.
Moses had it right. He knew that he couldn't accomplish the great thing. He knew that he could not accomplish his call unless there was first fellowship between him and God. He says, Father, God, I know you chose me to lead your greatest nation on this earth. You chose me to take them out of Egypt. You chose me for this great thing, but I want to know you. See, there's too many people, they want to know the notoriety of the position, the influence of the position, the wealth of the position. They want to know all the other peripheral benefits. They want all the earthly stuff. Moses said, yeah, that's great. I'm going to lead 2 to 3 million people. Moses knew that this was going to be one of the greatest moves of God on the earth.
Sure.
The Exodus.
Oh, yeah.
He said, but don't send me. I won't go unless I can know you. I won't go and do this unless I have your presence.
Yes. Yes.
Because I'm not going to get out there in the middle of this thing and then turn around and be without your presence, God. I'm not going to go out and get consumed by the duties of my new job and not continue to have fellowship with you. I'm not going to go out and get all these good things in life and then forget
right.
the presence of God. Some of you have done that. People have gotten new relationships. They forget about God. They get better finances, a better job. They forget about God. They get busy and overtasked in life, and they forget about God. Don't you do that. Don't you go. Get out there in the middle and then remove yourself from the presence of the Lord. That is exactly what the devil wants to do.
Right.
We've seen this as a church. I mean, we've come a long way fast, not because of me, not because of you, but because of God's goodness.
Yes.
I mean, God has done just so many amazing things here. He's done so many amazing things in a very fast manner here. Let's not, as a church, get out this far and then not continue in the very thing that brought us here. Did you get some help? Now, in the weeks to come, because I thought I'd get into it today, I didn't even get close. But I'm going to teach how to get into the presence of God. Because a lot of people, believers, people that have been Christians for a year, they have no idea what the presence of God is. You know, they just say, well, pastor talks about it, the pastor's up there, says the presence of God is strong in here today, and they have no idea what you're even talking about. We're going to teach you how to get in the presence of God. How, as individuals, but also corporately as a church. The presence of God has rules. It has rules. And what I mean by that is there are spiritual laws, just like there's natural laws. There's laws of electricity, you know, that conducts power and so on. God's presence isn't something you, and a lot of people have this random idea, well, we're in the presence of God, it just randomly shows up. No, God is not random. He does everything with a purpose. And he's looking for people that will know how to cooperate with his presence. And let's start 2015 right. Let's not just make some cheap resolution. Let's, you know, if we need to jump back in, if we need to hit the reset button, if we need to go back to do the first works, the first love of Jesus, we're going to do it.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you get some help out of this today? Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you.